Welcome to this week's podcast from Church on the Rock. We hope that it will challenge and inspire you to be a more passionate follower of Jesus. For more information about Church on the Rock, visit us at cotrcalera.com.
So we're going to start a new series today talking about the last words of Jesus. There is actually, we won't get to all of them, but there are, if you look through the Gospels, we will find that there are seven things that Jesus said on the cross. Seven last words of Jesus. And so we're going to go through a period. We got 5 weeks in the month of March, culminating with Easter at the end of March. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at five of the seven things that Jesus said when he was on the cross. And what does that mean for us? And, you know, how does that affect us? And, you know, I think when you think about life and you think about the span of our life and the goal of our life, and you think about, you know, what life means to us, oftentimes it's, you know, when we come to the end of life and we find ourselves at the end knocking on heaven's door, where the last things that we say oftentimes are the most important things that we say. And so when we're looking at Jesus, we see some of that here. And so before we get into that, though, just to kind of set the stage, I got a short video that we're going to play here this morning.
Digging a hole in the roof of a stranger's house might be a bad idea. You just do it. So we did it. And how we pulled that operation off, that's a story for another day. And it's a good one. You should have seen everybody's face when they were lowering me down all sprawled out on that mat. At one point, I just looked at everybody. And I was just like, hello. Everybody was shocked. Except for Jesus. It's like he was expecting me. Jesus, he had this big smile on his face. He looked up at my friends. He looked at me. And he said these words. He said, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now listen, I wasn't being lowered down on a mat because I was exhausted from running a marathon. I was being lowered on a mat because my legs didn't work. So when he said he was going to forgive my sins, I was thinking, sins? What about my legs? But I just didn't get it then. See, in saying he could forgive sins, Jesus was kind of, you know, he wasn't kind of saying it. He was claiming to be God. Now, I don't have time to tell you everything the Pharisees told us we had to do to earn forgiveness. Needless to say, it'd be easier to move a mountain than to find forgiveness. And here, Jesus is just handing it out. Most everybody in that room had to be thinking the same thing. Who does this guy think he is? Who does this guy think he is? You can't forgive sins if you're not God. And if you're not God, you can't do this. I went in there hoping that I could stand on my own 2 feet, and I walked out free from sin. That's a miracle that doesn't just change me. That changes the world.
So obviously what we're dealing with here is a story of the man who was lowered down through the roof on the mat before Jesus. If you can imagine what it might have been to be a part of the crowd that day that was present to hear and see Jesus speak the words to this man on this mat. Obviously, the friends of this paralyzed man loved him enough to do whatever it took to get him before Jesus. He was completely dependent upon somebody else's help. And Jesus told him that day to get up and walk home. And he also told him that his sins were forgiven. And I'm sure that these words would linger in his heart and mind for quite a bit. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read the story real quick in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And it says, "And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.' And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he then said to the paralytic, 'Rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he rose and went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men." So we find this story here and this great debate that's happening of what is it that, you know, Jesus is doing here, and, you know, why. I mean, you know, I'm sure if you put yourself in everybody else's, you know, feet at that particular moment, like, who really, you know, what person on earth has the authority to say your sins are forgiven if not God himself, because it's only God who can forgive sins. And yet we have this moment here in time where Jesus speaks to him long before he ever heals them of his paralyzed state. He tells them that his sins will be forgiven. And the man on the mat probably never forgot what happened to him that day. He got up, he went on his way, because Jesus spoke the words of healing over him and his condition. But Jesus, not only did he have authority and power in his words to change the man's life and his state of being paralyzed, but he also could, he also was able to speak these words, "Your sins are forgiven." And if you fast forward a little ways down, a long ways down through the Gospels, we find ourselves towards the end of Jesus' life. It's, you know, it was a Friday morning outside the city gates of Jerusalem during the approaching festival of Passover. And Passover is a celebration that all Jews were required or expected to attend in their life. And so here, this paralyzed man from several chapters earlier, you know, 15 chapters earlier or so, in Matthew chapter 9, he receives his healing. And now, probably for the first time in his life, he's able to get up and walk and be and attend the Passover celebration. And we find Jesus here in a different state. All right? The man who was paralyzed on the mat, you know, could have been there that day when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And can you imagine what he might have been thinking? Looking around at everything that was going on, watching the guy who told him, "Your sins are forgiven," watching the guy that said, "Hey, pick up your mat and go home." And yet he finds Jesus hanging on the cross with all these people standing around, hurling insults at him, casting lots for his clothes, all of these kinds of things. And he's here witnessing this moment. And we find this moment recorded in Luke chapter 23. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 32, it says, "Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If he is Christ of God, he is the chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' And there were also inscriptions over him that said, 'This is the king of the Jews.'" Imagine what it might have been like that day for the man that Jesus has healed to sit there and watch this unfold, to see everything's happening before him, to know his own testimony and his own situation in his life, that he was a sinful man who was paralyzed. And in one moment, not only did he receive his healing from being paralyzed, he found his forgiveness of sins. And here he is, possibly on that day, and Jesus is on the cross, and you hear the words of Jesus that ring all too true for what he heard earlier, where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These words concerning forgiveness would be the first of seven last words that Jesus spoke from the cross that the gospel writers record for us. It's the first thing that Jesus said that we have recorded in the scriptures, the first thing that Jesus said when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them. And Jesus is speaking to God and not to people on the cross. And we have this glimpse into this moment where God the Son is speaking to God the Father. And as we try to imagine standing at the foot of the cross, listening to the first words of the seven words that Jesus last spoke, we get to kind of hear and eavesdrop on this conversation between God the Father and God the Son. And what they see, what we see in this conversation, in this moment, is that we see that Jesus is having a conversation with God about us, about me. And what does he say? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. Why should we be forgiven? We should be forgiven because we don't even know what we're doing. All right? Now I know that a lot of us sitting here might sit here and think, "I know what I'm doing." But do we really, you know, do we really? Okay, let's think about this for a second. You know, there's a story in the story about Jesus. When he was, there was a moment where he looked over the city of Jerusalem. The Bible is it's where the passage, the famous passage that we know, where it says that Jesus wept, and he looked over the city and he wept because he said, "I see a city of sheep without a shepherd." All right, I see a people who are like sheep without a shepherd. There's another passage, and we actually find this connection all throughout Scripture. There's another passage in Isaiah chapter 53:6 that says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." So this passage here in Isaiah says that we, just like sheep, have gone astray, and we've gone to our own way, and that God had to lay upon Christ the iniquity of all of us. We've all, it mirrors the statement in Romans 3:23 that says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we've all messed up, we've all gone astray. But there's this connection in Scripture that talks about sheep, all right, where we are like sheep, and Jesus looked out and saw a city that was like sheep without a shepherd. And I've made this reference before. Sheep are just some really dumb animals, all right? And I'm not trying to say you're dumb. If anything, I'm probably trying to say I'm dumb. But let's just be honest. Sheep are dumb animals. And I have some video evidence for you this morning about how dumb some sheep are. All right? So I want you to watch these two clips real quick. That's it, man. That's it. I mean, like, how dumb do you have to be, right, to do that? I mean, here's two separate ones, and we just have just a little bit of video evidence here, okay, of just some really dumb sheep, okay? And they get rescued, and the next thing you know, they are jumping right back, falling right back in the same pit, all that kind of stuff. And the truth being known is that a lot of times we find ourselves in that same position. I mean, the truth being known is, if you ever really kind of stop to consider how much of our lives are spent trying to figure out what we're going to do, okay? What am I going to wear today? Where am I going to eat after church today? What am I going to major in college? How much insurance should I buy? What do I need to invest so that I don't have to work till I'm 100? What are we supposed to do? What am I supposed to be doing in our marriage? What are we doing as parents? What are we doing in algebra with our kids' algebra homework? Because, like, if I didn't know back then, I surely don't know right now, okay? Like, and the list can go on and on and on. So much of our life is trying to figure out what we're doing. And because we just don't know half the time. You know, you talk about having kids. Like, man, kids don't come with operation manuals. They just, like, it's like we're all just a bunch of kids who grew up and had kids. And we're just trying to figure this thing out as we go along. And how many of you know we make a lot of mistakes along the way. And we're just like the sheep, where we get rescued out of one problem. Next thing you know, we're jumping around and we fall right back in the same problem all over again. And so what Jesus did is he looked at us as human beings and he saw a group of people. He saw people that were like sheep without a shepherd. That that sometimes in our life, like, we just don't know what we're doing. And if we think we know what we're doing, oftentimes we don't really know what we're doing. And it's the truth. Like, you know, we can get educated and we can go to school and we can learn a lot of things. But, you know, there's no operation manual that we get that tells us what to do in every situation of our life. It just doesn't exist. And half the time, we're just trying to figure it out as we go along. And sure, there are things that we can do to help us be a little bit more wise, be a little bit better at making decisions. Those kinds of things are there. But at the end of the day, even the wisest person in the world still, their wisdom is foolishness in comparison to God's. Because we just don't have the capacity to know the way that God knows. And the truth being known is that, you know, if you're like me, there are lots of times in life I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing as a husband, as a father, as a son, as a student, as a leader. I don't know what I'm doing sometimes as a pastor. I know it sounds really weird to stand up here, but if we're just being honest, like, there's no perfect situation, okay? You know, I wasn't born with this innate ability. Like, God gave me some kind of manual that gave me the script for all of my life and every decision that I'm going to be faced with and everything that I'm going to do. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I want to have a relationship with the Father, and I want to listen to the Holy Spirit so that the decisions that I make are filled with as much wisdom and insight as possible. But sometimes I can look at my own life and say, man, I didn't know what I was doing when I was there either. I mean, I can look back 15 years ago when we planned this church, like, I had faith to believe that God wanted to do something in my life to plant this church in Calera. But if I look back 15 years ago, I'm like, he didn't know what he was doing. Okay, I look back at myself when I was married at 21 years old, and I think, who in their right mind let this little kid get married at 21? Okay, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, all I knew is I found this girl that I loved her a whole lot. I'm like, hey, this is what we all do. We get married and spend the rest of our life together, you know? It's like, so the truth be known is that when we're just really honest with ourselves, a lot of times we don't know what we're doing. And yet here Jesus is on the cross, and what does he say? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. All right? They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. And because God knows exactly what he's doing, he sends his one and only, one-of-a-kind, sinless son to a cross to die a horrendous death with a magnificent result. And we find that the scripture talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. It says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. You see, part of the nature and character of God is that he is a God who is full of forgiveness, especially for people who don't know what they're doing, but who need to be reconciled with God. That's what he is. And Rob, if you'll go ahead and come. You see, through Christ, we have forgiveness of sins before we ever even ask. Nobody asked Jesus for forgiveness of sins on that day when Jesus was on the cross. Nobody asked him. But yet Jesus offered it anyways. I think it was 2 weeks ago when we were in the middle of our marriage series, one of the things that we were talking about was moving past things. And we talked about how forgiveness is vital inside of relationships. And we forgive not because the other person deserves it or has earned it. We forgive because forgiveness is right, because Christ modeled it. And we see it in Jesus here. Long before you ever even thought to ask God for forgiveness, he said, I forgive you anyways. All right? There's nothing in your life that you could have done to earn the forgiveness of God, because he gave it to you before you could ever do anything to earn it. That's what God did for you. That's what the words of Jesus on the cross were all about. that when he was hanging there naked, with his arms pierced and his body bleeding, beaten from the cat of nine tails, and he looked out at people who were hurling insults at him, who were mocking him, who were spitting on him, and he said, "Father, forgive them." And even in that moment, you could say, man, those people knew what they were doing. Those people knew what they were doing. But Jesus said, they don't know what they're doing. And we've all been in that place before where we didn't know what we were doing and we did some things we shouldn't have done. And look, I'm going to say this. It doesn't mean that we also have to understand that Romans, it tells us that we can't use the grace of God as a license for immorality. In other words, we can't be like, well, you know what, it's okay if I sin because God will forgive me. Because God forgave me on the cross, I'm already forgiven, therefore I'm forgiven even before I ever commit my sin, so it must be okay for me to sin. No, that's basically making a mockery of the cross and what Jesus did on that day, because Jesus' sacrifice for us should empower us to give us the strength to live a better life, to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Does that mean that we're going to be perfect? No, it's not. And it also means that there's going to be times where we're going to do things that we shouldn't do, and maybe we didn't know what we were doing at the time. Maybe we did, but we didn't know the gravity of it. I don't really know. Regardless of it, we know that Jesus offered forgiveness long before we could ever ask for forgiveness. So what does that mean for all of us today? Well, I would say this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, let me just say this. Because we can never earn Christ's forgiveness. Because God forgave us before we asked for it, what is required of us is agreement. That we have to come into agreement with God about this situation, about this thing called sin, that I come into agreement with God. And what that means for you, listen, if you are somebody that doesn't know Jesus, what you have to do is you have to come into agreement that your sin has separated you from God. Right? And that you need to confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because that's what it tells us in Romans. That we confess Jesus as Lord. That we come in agreement with Jesus in that moment that I don't know what I'm doing. Apart from God, I don't know what I'm doing, and I need God in my life right now. So I come into agreement with God and I confess Jesus as Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that if you'll do that, you'll be saved. Salvation was purchased for you that day on the cross. But until you come into agreement with God, okay, you don't have it. It's freely yours as soon as you want it. As soon as you come into agreement, it's freely yours. If you're a believer here today, you have to come into agreement with Jesus. And in 1 John, it says that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. You have to come into agreement that, like, hey, you know what? I've blown it. I've sinned. I've messed up. And I need God's forgiveness in my life. Listen, and he's already forgiven you. He's already spoken it over you. He's already said, Father, forgive them. All you have to do is come into agreement and say, God, I agree. I didn't know what I was doing, and I blew it. And if I did know what I was doing, I'm really sorry, and I repent. And I want to change. I want to change. I want to be a different person. And maybe you're here today and you're a believer and you've confessed Jesus as Lord and you've confessed your sins. Listen, you have to understand that you still feel bad about what it is. You still feel bad about your past. You have to understand and you have to trust God's word when he says he is faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. We have to understand that the Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. And if you're a believer and you're walking with God and you've confessed and repented of your sin, yet you still feel bad about it, you need to understand that that is the devil working inside of you, okay, to to complicate your relationship with God, to make you feel unworthy, and to keep you from serving and worshiping God the way you should. And you have to recognize that if God has forgiven you, the Bible says that He's cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, that He remembers it no more. Why? Because you are clothed in the righteousness of God, so that when God looks at you, He sees Jesus, not your mess, not your problems. He sees Jesus because we are clothed in Him. And so this is the reason why the first last words of Jesus are so powerful. Will you stand to your feet this morning? If I have any prayer people want to join me down the front, I'd appreciate that. Great. We're going to worship the Lord today, this morning, just close out our service like we always do. And I'm going to, listen, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, right here, right now. And I got people down here at the front that would love, they're trained, they're ready, they would love to pray with you, because God can make things new today. If you're here today and you, listen, the Bible says that if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord cannot hear you. If we have unrepentant sin in our life as a believer, the Bible says that our prayers become hollow to the Lord. He can't hear us because there's a block. There's a separation. And the way that we fix that is through repentance. And the way that we fix that is through saying, God, I've blown it. I've made a mistake. It takes humility. And if you need to do that, you need to do it. You need to repent. We have some people that will pray you through some of that here this morning. Or if you're here today and you're just feeling condemned, like you just can't get past your past. Look, God doesn't want you to live with that kind of burden, because the Bible says that if you come to Him, that His burden is light and easy, okay? And that the weight of this world is heavy and hard. God wants you to live free and light so you can run the race that He's called you to run. Listen, we're going to worship God here this morning. If you want prayer for anything, maybe you're sick here this morning, you want prayer for healing, maybe you're just going through a hard time, we want to pray for you. But if not, let's just worship God together. Can we just do that this morning? Come on, let's just tell Him how good He is. Come on, He forgave you before you ever deserved it, before you asked it. Come on, He's faithful to you.